B-Pod Studios.
Everybody, welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Tuesday, July 21st. We got Maz and I on site. So you just heard the update there from McBone, and Big Jim Murray will be updating you throughout the day. I think it's a story that's one of the bigger ones. I think it's one of the bigger stories and bigger developments we've had here in the pandemic and our life without sports here in the apocalypse, Maz. And that is the NFL preseason going bye-bye. And I guess it's not official, but it's been widely reported. It feels like the owners have already given it away. And I got to tell you, I think it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. I think it's a big loss. I think it's a big deal on a couple different fronts. I think it's impactful in a couple different fronts. And I feel like it's one of the bigger losses we've had here since this whole thing happened. I'm talking in the world of sports, of course. I'm not talking about life. I'm talking about in the world of sports. I feel like this is the first big loss that I've suffered. I like the NFL preseason. I like it, Maz. I like it as a talk show host. I like it as a fan. I don't feel it's superfluous. Now, I'm not paying those ticket prices. So that's, you know, certainly that's different for me than some of the ticket holders out there. But I think it's a valuable exercise for the team. I think it's a valuable exercise for the fan. I think it's content for the show. I think the Patriots need preseason this year. I think the lack of preseason hurts them this year, because I don't know if you've been paying attention, but they have a new quarterback this year. And so there's just like a million different fronts on this, and I don't like any of them. And so that's just my opening thought on the loss of the NFL preseason. What's yours?
Okay, so here's what I would tell you, that generally speaking, I don't put a lot of stock in preseason games. Okay, and I mean this, by the way, in every sport. I don't put a lot of stock in what happens in preseason games in any sport. However, I have never said they weren't necessary. I have never said that. And so now, do I think there were too many of them? Yes, I do. I think there were too many preseason games in all sports. I don't think they need that many. But they really shouldn't go into any season with zero. So now look, from a talk show standpoint, we can certainly engage in that discussion. I'll take anything they can give me, particularly during a pandemic. But here's what I'll tell you as a fan and a follower of sports in general. They need the reps. Players need the reps. You can't go into a season with nothing. And just practice time, it's not enough. You need to see live competition against the other side, even if it is three-quarter speed or what have you. I think it's critical. And I would say that that is especially true now for the NFL, in the case of the NFL, in a pandemic. The whole game day operation, like, how's that going to work? I think they need a run-through. So I don't like the idea of zero in terms of the pure functionality of the sport. I think it's going to set the quality of play back a little bit in the early part of the year.
Oh, man, I don't think there's any question about it, Maz. And, you know, you say you don't put too much stock into preseason action. I put too much stock into preseason action. That's the fun part of it.
Yeah, I probably do, too. And it's, look, we always eventually fall in love with one or two players that pop. Last year it happened to Jacoby Myers, who was at Austin Carr, I think, a few years ago. And sometimes those guys don't pan out. But when you have so much youth at important positions, specifically tight end this year, like, I'd like to see those rookies. I'd like to see them get some reps. I'd like to see if it does turn out to be a bit of a battle. Like, say, Jarrett Stidham looked better in the preseason than Cam Newton, who's, I think, is your new quarterback. Like, there's some interesting storylines we're going to miss out on.
So, I mean, not just that, but, I mean, how about just that? That's fun. This guy sucks. This guy's great. This guy's ready. That guy's not ready. And then it all changes week one and we forget all about it. But that's good fun. I like that stuff. Like, that's good. I don't think people realize the fodder that you get out of it. And maybe you're just getting a little snippet of it right now with these teams returning to play. I mean, the reporters are there at the Bruins practices at Warrior. So we're getting a little bit of, you know, this guy's skating with that guy, and Anders Bjork looks good, Nick Ritchie looks bad, Chara looks like it's going to take him a little bit of time to get up to speed, as you might thought, Bergeron and Marchand look like they haven't skipped a beat, Krejci is sort of Krejci, DeBrusk is back with him, but, like, you know, just that reporting there, if you're a fan of the team, you know, that's valuable stuff. And we're not getting, I feel like we're getting none of it with the Celtics because those reporters aren't there. And we're just sort of, you know, beholden to what Steven says on the Zoom call afterwards. And so that's all just a long way of saying that's what August is. That's what all of August is with the Patriots. And especially this August, It's a different team. It's a different quarterback. It's a different era. And those games, if they were playing a preseason game in hell, it would have been 3 weeks. You know, that first preseason game is usually the first week of August, right? And if they're playing preseason week one in 2 or 3 weeks and Cam Newton's running out there, that's a big story. That's a big week. That's a couple days. That's grist for the mill, and that's gone. And that blows. Sorry, that blows. And I don't know if anyone else feels it like I feel it, but I feel it. I also feel like the Patriots need it. I feel the Patriots are going to be hurt, okay? So no one has any preseason games. And when I give you the schedule of what it's going to look like in training camp, you're not going to believe it. They only might have as few as 10 days of padded practice. But does that hurt or help the Patriots vis-a-vis the league? So no one's going to get a preseason game. No one's going to be in pads until about, I don't know, again, the end of August. And does that help or hurt the Patriots, Maz?
Hurts. And so this is the part, look, again, the other stuff we're talking about, and don't get me wrong, I'm interested in the talk show too. And even if you're a fan, like, that stuff is tough to sort of just, you know, consume your thoughts and energy there for a little while. It's all important. But the real, to me, the ripple effect or the impact, and maybe it's not even a ripple effect, maybe it's a direct impact on the Patriots, is significant. So this is a team that is old to begin with. They have a new quarterback on top of it, one way or the other. So this draft class, I don't know, don't you look at this? And I'm sort of jumping around here with the various impact. But the quarterback thing is obvious. These guys aren't going to be able to play games until the first real game now. Significant. And what about the whole draft class? You tell me. It's hard enough for a Patriot rookie to crack the lineup when they do get to play in the preseason and do get reps. Now all of a sudden they're not going to have that. Do you look at this draft class and say they're not going to get much out of it? Like, I think the impact there is significant. I'll take any reps you can get for any of those players in preseason games. However, you know, again, whatever speed they're played at, half speed, three quarter, even if they are full speed. I think for the Patriots, it was all important. Absolutely.
What do you think, Mario? You think it helps or hurts them?
I think it hurts them. Again, considering how young they are at key positions that they sucked at last year, like tight end, how you're trying to work in, you know, they usually do find an undrafted rookie or two that latches on with the team. Again, last year was Jacoby Myers. Those guys aren't going to get the reps that they normally would get in the preseason. And I think, you know, it can potentially hurt Cam Newton, too, who is now here for the first time. I do think he's going to be the quarterback, and you want to try to have him, you know, work with the ones and get, you know, the flow of the offense as much as he possibly can. And to take away the preseason, even if it's just one or two games, I think that hurts. I just think overall, just from a fan standpoint, every single moment for this team from practice to preseason to previously pointless games against the Jets, it's now must watch and must discuss because it's the first season post Tom Brady. I think it's all interesting. So, you know, look, four is always a bit much. I wish they would whittle it down to three, but I do think the preseason's important, especially this year post Tom Brady and now with Cam Newton here.
Certainly four is too much, but the preseason slate, that whole month, I think is a valuable month, and I think the Pats are going to be hurt by this. So you're telling me, and again, I'll read you, what, you know, some of the reporting out there of the schedule, that Cam Newton is going to get 10 padded practices with N'Keal Harry and Mohamed Sanu.
Not enough.
And, I mean, it's not even close, and I don't care if they're gonna have a running offense, or, you know, they're gonna do some college things or some different things with Cam Newton where it's not the precision offense that the Patriots once were. He's gonna get 10 padded practices with his new receivers. That's it. 10 days anyway, or, you know, again, I'll read it to you, but it's like, that hurts them. They needed everything they could get here, whether it is Stidham or Hoyer or Cam Newton. And I think that's gonna hurt the team. I think it's gonna benefit defenses across the league. Okay, so if you want to tell me that the Patriots defense with McCourty, Hightower, Chung, yeah, it's a veteran group and the coaching and all of that, that sort of plays to their advantage. Those guys don't need any preseason games. So fine. I think there's a Gilmore. You know, there's a group on defense that just does not need preseason. No problem. Okay, but your offense. Your offense is going to be even farther behind than it was, Maz. This hurts the New England Patriots.
Oh, no question. Look, and I know we had a caller who touched on that yesterday, saying that it is going to help defenses this year. And I think, you know, something like this takes that a little bit further, even without any preseason, that offenses are all built on time, timing, repetition, at least most of them. I wonder if this isn't going to force a lot of teams, the Patriots chief among them, again, given the transition they're undergoing, to dumb it down. They may not have a choice. They may have to go with a very simple, basic offense or premise on offense, whether it's Cam Newton or Stidham, take your pick, whatever it is, they're going to have to keep it simple because they just don't have the time and the reps to be able to build in all the stuff they want to build in. And I think that that's going to be true around the league. So look, if you're asking me how it's going to affect different teams differently based on their experience and whatnot, again, I don't think the Chiefs will be hurt as much as other teams because they have all their starters coming back and they've been together for a few years now. So even if they're rusty at the beginning, they'll get it back quicker than other teams will just because of the familiarity of it. But Mike, the other thing is think of all the quarterbacks that moved around this year.
I was just going to say, it hurts Brady too.
Yeah, it hurts Brady. It hurts Teddy Bridgewater. It hurts Nick Foles if he's the guy in Chicago. You've got guys that, you know, bounced around a little bit and ended up in different places. I think there's going to be a significant ripple effect there.
I mean, just think about it. It's not just the no preseason games. There's no hardly any padded practices. There's none of those joint practices. I mean, that's a lot of work. That's coming off an offseason with no organized team activities on the field. All you're getting is Zoom calls and these captain's practices, for lack of a better term, these throwing sessions that they're all just feels like they're more interested in putting up on effing Instagram or whatever. So you've got no teamwork. And it's like, oh, but I'll tell you what. They'd be in so much better shape if Brady were still here. I know. How's that for going full circle on that one? But I'm just saying, if it were still Brady, still this offense, and not that I thought he should have stayed, I'm glad he's gone. I'm not taking anything back. But I'm just saying, what a difference that would make. You know, what a leg up they would have on the league if it were still Brady, still his playbook, all that institutional knowledge. Brady doesn't need preseason anymore, right? Fine. I mean, here, he doesn't need preseason here. I think he needs it in Tampa. I think he needs it with his new team and the new playbook and everything. But here, he doesn't need, you know, he doesn't need preseason here. And so I just think, you know, what a massive difference that is now. It's like you are with everybody else sort of behind the eight ball, hitting the ground running, probably behind some teams offensively for sure, given there's a new quarterback who came in late to begin with, and it's just bad all the way around. And never mind us fans, the talk show. August was good stuff. August was good stuff. That's when, if people accused Felger and Maz of making mountains out of molehills, that's when we built our best mountains. That's when we slung our best crap. Like, that's the best time right there. You mock the reporters who are overplaying a guy's ability, or someone has a big preseason game, and we spend all week dumping on the guy. And then maybe he pans out, and it's like, how do you like him now? And it's like, that's the whole thing. Like, do you know how much content we've just lost with that? I mean, I feel like we've, and you'll thank God, hockey and basketball will be back in August, and the Red Sox, and we'll have some other things to sink our teeth into. But that's a loss. Does anyone feel it as much as I do? So that's the question for the audience. For as much bitching as you do about the preseason, are you going to miss it? Are you? Do you think it's a loss for you? And here's a question for you. Does it help or hurt the Patriots versus the rest of the league? Your thoughts at 617-779-0985 right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The NFL is offering the players the opportunity to, just for this year, forego the preseason, to go from four games to what the league wanted was two down to zero. What are you hearing about that?
All right, so players are giving me all the emojis, the thumbs up, the hand clap, the whole thing. They're psyched, right? Players don't want these preseason games for two reasons. One, they don't want to be exposed to COVID-19, obviously, out on the field going up against other teams. But also, the physical fitness, right? Most players are just not there yet, and they're probably not going to be able to get into their facilities if they are to test negative again with COVID-19 until August 1st anyway. So they need more time to acclimate. But that being said, coaches, those are the ones that are really stressed about this no preseason situation if this were to be agreed upon, because we know so many players on this roster show themselves in those games, and guys that maybe they didn't notice in practice are showing themselves in those game-like scenarios. I had one coach I texted with who said, well, no preseason games means camp is going to be a lot more physical because we need live action reps out here to just get our guys ready. So yes, there are definitely some positives from the players here, and maybe even some disadvantages for the players that are trying to make these rosters, but coaches definitely want those preseason games to go through those dress rehearsals.
It's a great point because, yeah, for rookies, you got no mini camp, no rookie camp, no OTAs, and no preseason. Puts that much more influence and importance on training camp, which everybody in the league will be at in about a week's time.
All right, so it looks like no preseason games in the NFL. We know there are no joint practices. When you read the scheduling coming up, I'll give it to you. There's no padded practices for a long time. They're going to show up next week, but they're not even really going to be in the building for about 5 days later or something. It's like, you know, Diana Rossini there, ESPN, just mentioned it. Murray mentioned it the last segment. I really don't care as much about the undrafted guy, you know, the Jacoby Myers guy. And maybe I should, Murray, because certainly Malcolm Butler, Jacoby Myers, J.C. Jackson, like, you know, the Patriots have a good David Andrews. They've got a good history of undrafted guys emerging, making a team, and being a factor. So maybe I should care more. More immediate to me is Cam Newton, new offense, still new receivers, and for crying out loud, we have no work together. No work together. And that's just, I think that's a loss for the Patriots, never mind the fans and never mind us here on the talk show. So what's your thought? I'm making too big of a deal. Are you going to miss preseason out there? 617-779-0985. Let's lead it off with David in the car. Go ahead, David.
I swear the COVID has made you guys lose your collective minds. I am so happy that there are no and I'll tell you, and I'll give you the three quick bullet points why. One, every single year, the league loses marquee players to injury playing these meaningless, stupid games. Two, every major college jumps right into their season from week one. They don't play any preseason, and not every team opens, you know, with the sisters of the poor. And their one loss to the college teams means a lot more to the pro team, so they can certainly get ready. And three, if there's any coach that can do more with less, I'll take Belichick over the other 31, over and out.
Okay, so I knew I was going to get that last one. That, yeah, you know, throw any curveball, any sort of variance, Belichick's going to be in better shape than anybody else because he's Bill Belichick. I don't know. Something tells me Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs offense that is seamless with the same skill position people, same playbook, same terminology, everyone in the playbook for multiple years is going to be a little bit ahead of Bill Belichick in their offense. Does that make me a you know, anti-Patriot troll to say that they're going to be, hell, I hate to break it to you, the Jets are going to be ahead of the Patriots when it comes to that. The Bills are going to be ahead of the Patriots when it comes to that. Maybe even the Dolphins will be ahead of the Patriots when it comes to that, depending on who their quarterback is. There's more continuity there. And that doesn't mean those teams are better than the Patriots, or I like them more, I don't. I like the Patriots to win the division still. But don't tell me this puts them at an advantage. This puts them behind a little bit where they might have been if they had a full summer of work.
Well, so I'll tell you what, I'm glad the caller brought it up because I almost brought it up in the last segment. But since he did it for me, I'll just jump right off it. I think it actually hurts Belichick because think about it. Belichick builds during the course of the year. The whole thing is how many times have you heard people say, nope, they start installing stuff in preseason, they add it on little by little, and they build throughout the course of the year. Well, now you can't start building until later. And again, you want to tell me that there are certain teams that they're going to play and that Belichick is not going to be affected or will have an advantage? Sure. The teams that have new quarterbacks and that are at the same place or have to dumb it down or that aren't very good, the Patriots aren't going to be hurt by. But when they go up against Kansas City, and again, a Kansas City team that has a leg up on them in terms of continuity to begin with, you're telling me the absence of reps that Bill Belichick's on equal footing now? I don't think he is. And again, I'm not telling you, look, I'll still put my money on Belichick. That's not what I'm saying. But give Belichick reps in preseason games, or don't give him. Which Belichick is better? I'm comparing Bill against Bill this scenario is what I'm saying. And I don't think Bill's going to be the same either.
New quarterback. The starter, we think, comes in really late to begin with. So he doesn't even have the effing Zoom sessions that everyone else had. Now they have no joint practices, no preseason, greatly reduced padded practices, and that's an advantage? Okay, sure, I guess.
I think it limits what Bill can do. I'm sorry, go ahead.
John and Arlington, go.
Hi, good guys. Look, one thing that's being huge overlooked is we don't have any James Devlin this year, okay? James Devlin. Now, if Cam Newton has his happy feet that he had 6 or 7 years ago, I'm not saying Devlin was a ball carrier and yard gainer. He was a blocker, and that's going to mess up their whole ground game. Sonny Michel fed off of Devlin. If they get Damian Harris in there, he's going to feed off a big guy like that. Jakob Johnson isn't going to do it, okay? So no preseason games is devastating to the Patriots, to every team.
John, I'm just going to stop you. Who wants to go? Go.
Me. I'll go. Me. If the Patriots can't overcome the loss of James Devlin in the running game or anywhere else, Bill Belichick sucks as a coach.
The fullback actually does matter in this offense. It was proven in 2018. It doesn't matter that you don't have Devlin anymore because now you have Dan Vitale, who was going to do the same job. You got him from the Green Bay Packers.
They're that reliant upon one player, if they're that reliant upon the fullback, then Bill Belichick sucks.
It's not that they're that reliant, but it does matter in the offense.
We'll find a way around it.
This is immaterial to the preseason. The preseason doesn't, the fullback's the fullback. He'll run up into the A-gap and hit the linebacker, whatever. You don't need precision timing and extra practices in the preseason for the effing fullback. God, this is the next call about
they put a Landon Roberts back there for crying out loud.
Is the next call about the ice in Edmonton or about the third round compensatory pick? What's next? Chris and Raynham, go Chris.
Hey, guys, it sure would have been nice to have a quarterback who knew the system for 20 years this season. It's really a shame. I'm calling general about the whole kind of what you were saying, Felger. It's a shame what's going on this year. This year would be so exciting, whether you're for Brady or not Brady leaving. Is it going to have the same juice seeing Brady and Gronk in front of 10,000 fans and Cam Newton? It would be so exciting this next month. I know there's people who have gone through a lot worse than us football fans who miss football, but it's just a shame. And I picture the Super Bowl with 15,000 people. A lot of intrigue from this season could go away, I feel like, due to everything that's going on.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's nothing we can do about that. So, I don't feel as badly about that. They could play the preseason. They could. They're playing baseball games in empty stadiums. They're about to start playing basketball and hockey. Those teams are back and working out. They're working out against, at least each other anyway, but there are going to be some exhibitions coming up here in just a couple weeks. So, I guess I'm sort of pissed about the NFL preseason because it's not necessary. And I'll say this. I think both the players and owners are frauds. The owners bigger frauds than the players. But the players are saying, we just want to play. But no preseason games. So, I mean, do you really just want to play? I mean, do you really want to put yourself in the best position to be ready to go this season and do everything that you can? Or just do you want your 17 game checks? Which I don't begrudge you. I don't mind that whatsoever. I mean, that's fair. But, let's not BS a BSer. So do you really want to play or not? And on the owners, boy, when they were getting full ticket revenue, Maz, for those preseason games, they sure told us how important these puppies were. You got to get these games in. They need to get their work. It's important for the players. It's an important product. It's important for the league. When they were getting full ticket freight for those stupid preseason games where they didn't pay the players, boy, those games were pretty damn important to the owners. Now, as soon as there's no fans in the stands and they're not getting any of that fraudulent fake ticket revenue, it's the first thing they negotiate away. What epic frauds are these NFL owners when it comes to those preseason games?
I mean, this is why I tell you, when it comes to the players versus the owners in that league, I err on the side of the players every single time. I think the owners in that league, for what is essentially the most profitable sports league, I was going to say in the world, I don't know if the Premier League is more profitable, so I'll say North America at the very least. I mean, it's off the charts, the kind of money they make. The level of like penny pinching, the overall that goes on among the owners in that league disgusts me. And so, and this is one of them, like the completely hammering fans over the preseason games over the years, when we all know the preseason games are an inferior product that they will, in this case, obviously, we're willing to sell down the river pretty quickly. They didn't have any hesitation about giving it up this time.
As soon as they weren't getting your free ticket money, boy, they negotiated these away pretty quickly. Oh, my God, what epic frauds the NFL owners are. I want to circle back to that in a minute. More details on the NFL's return to play coming up here in the update with Murray and with us here on Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, so I want to read you some more of the details of the NFL's return to play, which, again, I think the headline is no preseason games. Or at least that's the offer. And you know what? Maybe there's still hope, you know, because you know that, well, so just basically, the owners had reduced it from 4 to 2. The players wanted to go to 0. The owners were stuck at 2. But also, they were going to ask the players to put some money in escrow or give some money back for the lost revenue. So the owners have now said, okay, no preseason games, but they're probably going to, you know, give the players a whopper of a financial ask. And so maybe they can negotiate a preseason game or two back onto the docket. But if it's not profitable for these owners, these fraudulent owners, if there's no profit there, if there's no free ticket revenue, that scam that they've put on you guys for years and years, if they can't operate the scam, then what's the point of putting on the game for Spalding there and the owners? So, I don't know. I mean, maybe they don't want them. But that is, boy, they fought long and hard for those preseason games for years and years and years. And as soon as they couldn't get your free fake ticket money, they negotiated those away pretty quickly, didn't they? Oh, God. Maz, you have a thought?
Well, look, again, to me, this is sort of everything with the NFL owners. I feel like everything is just based purely 100% on money. That's it. And so it's never about what's right or cutting a deal, what's in the best interest of the league. And look, I'm not naive. I'm not telling you that I think the rest of the world operates that way. But you'd like to think on certain occasions you're able to see the greater good in something and that you have to make a little bit of a sacrifice. And that league to me, honestly, given how given how popular football is, I think they should be more profitable than they are. Like, I think that they miss opportunities because they're short-sighted in many cases.
And what do they pay themselves? That's another thing. But anyway, that's another story. Anyway, the players had pushed aggressively for daily testing. The league had wanted to test less frequently, in part because there were questions regarding the utility of daily testing, and in part because test results won't be available for roughly 24 hours. So I'm reading from different reports here. This is part Mark Maskey, part Ben Volen, part Pro Football Talk. I can't remember how I cut and paste all this stuff, so it's one of those three. Anyway, the testing protocol states that all football personnel, players, coaches, and staff members who work directly with the team will be tested every day during the first 2 weeks of the preseason. If the positive rate is below 5% after 2 weeks, testing will take place every other day. So do you see how the owners try to negotiate daily testing deep into training camp? They didn't even want to do it to begin training camp. But the players insisted, so the owners said, okay, we'll daily test for 2 weeks. We'll see how everybody looks, and then we'll go to every other day. You know, nickel and diming every step of the way, right? Another part of the owner's offer includes, and now here we get to some of the timing, includes an 18-day acclimation period to contact in training camp. In other words, the first full padded practice would take place on the 18th day of camp. In normal years, the pads wouldn't go on until the 7th day. The NFLPA was proposing a lengthy buildup this year that would have kept the pads off until the 31st day of camp, but a league source said the players have moved considerably on that issue. I had read another report, and maybe this is from the Washington Post. No preseason games will allow the league to follow a schedule recommended by a joint committee. That schedule calls for 3 weeks of strength and conditioning work, 10 days of non-padded practice, and then 10 days of padded practice over the final 2 weeks. So that's the one that I read and said, wait a minute. You're only going to have 10 days of padded practice over the final 2 weeks? No preseason games, no joint practices, no work against other teams, and you're only in pads over the final 10 days? The first, whatever, month plus is either just off-field or out-of-pads conditioning work or non-padded practices, and then only 10 days of padded practice over the final 2 weeks to get ready for the season? I think that's a killer for a team like the Patriots with a new quarterback and trying to work in all these new guys, Maz. I think that, and again, as much as the no preseason games is that, I think that really hurts them.
I think it hurts the whole league. And again, I'm not telling you that it hurts every team equally, because I think the teams that have new quarterbacks and new personnel and all that are going to they're going to suffer more. There's just no way around that. The continuity is going to matter. But then beyond that, I do like, to me, there's lots of angles to this story, one of which is the local one, which we talked about a little bit. The other is the impact on the game overall. I just think you're going to see the quality of play suffer. Mike, we've talked about this in some of these other years anyway, where you say, well, they don't get as much padded practices anymore. The tackling in the league is poor. I think you're going to see it times five this year. I think you're going to see all of those things be deficiencies in the early part of the year. And again, look, it's football. We love it. We'll eat it up. But if we're going to compare apples to apples and say the play this year versus other years, particularly early in the season, well, I think you're going to see a little slippage in the product.
All right, it will take most players until the fifth day of training camp to even step foot inside the facility, says the reporting. Players will be required to have two negative tests 72 hours apart before being cleared to enter. They will be tested on the first and fourth day and will be required to self-quarantine at their hotel or home for 2 days in between. If they pass both tests, they can enter the facility on the fifth day. So they report on the 28th, but they're not even really going to be in the building for 5 days. And then it's all sort of off-field, like I keep saying off-field, but, you know, just pure sort of conditioning, that kind of work. Then they slowly get into football stuff. The pads don't go on until the last 10 days. Like, I mean, this is that is a big sea change. The testing will be done by nasal swab, though it won't be a brain scraper that prods all the way to the back of the nose. The league hopes to be able to switch to saliva testing in a month or two, but the tests aren't reliable enough yet. During the initial 4-day testing period, antibody testing done by blood draw via a finger prick is strongly encouraged, but not required. Everyone that steps foot inside the building for football purposes, that's players, coaches, trainers, locker room attendants, but not business side employees, will wear a tracking device all day long for contact tracing purposes. These Knixon proximity recording devices will help a team determine which people were in close contact with someone who tested positive for the virus. It has to be worn during practice, in meetings, on the team bus, and so on. So they have some involved protocols here, but I do love them weaseling out of testing every day after the first couple of weeks and just giving up on the preseason. How long, Patriots season ticket holders, have the league owners told you about the importance of the preseason and how it's not consumer fraud and these are important games? And I'll give the Crafts credit. You know, Robert has not been as strong about this in recent years as some of the others. But this is something the owners hung on to and hung on as long as they were getting your free fake money. And it wasn't fake to you, but you know, as long as they were getting your free money for these fake games, they kept them. They kept them. They kept them. They wouldn't negotiate them away. They wouldn't trim them back. They kept collecting your free money. Now, as soon as you can't enter the building and it's no longer free money, boom, they negotiate them right off the table. That is, I tell you, Maz, that is rich, isn't it?
Oh, gosh, please look in the testing thing. Like I said to you a minute ago, the testing thing to me is exemplary of that, too. Or you know, is an example of that is really what I should say. That when you look at that and you say, well, wait a minute. Now, I've seen various estimates on the cost of a COVID test, but I think I saw a number somewhere of like $350 for one test.
So it says $125 per test here, $125 per test.
Okay, so I ran the math on $150, and I just Googled it and saw $350. So $125, fine. That's a quarter of $1 million a day for the NFL, which is nothing. Okay, that's nothing. That's for every player in the league. And now, again, I'm not including coaches and all the other crap. But think of the potential ramifications of not conducting tests daily and doing it every other day. You run the risk of someone being infected, not knowing about it for a day, in the proximity of players in that league and how close they are to one another really at all times. How many people could get infected in a 24-hour period, and you run the risk of flushing a whole team down the toilet? Like, is that really worth it in a $15 billion industry to have another $1 million of testing for a few more weeks? Is it really worth it?
Once again, your thoughts, folks. Does the lack of a preseason help or hurt the Patriots? Does it help or hurt Bill Belichick? Are you going to miss it as a fan? 617-779-0985 is your number. Crop open lines. Grab them, and we'll talk to you right after we get back from these words from our sponsors.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, this has come down pretty quickly. And if you're wondering what the NFL is going to take a stance on and what basically is up for bargaining, certainly the preseason games have been front and center in the bargaining mix right here. You're right. Went from 4, that wasn't going to happen. Then 2, maybe that was what the NFL wanted. And Tom Pelissero told us yesterday, 1, and late last night they got word that the NFL actually offered the union 0 preseason games. And it's pretty safe to say if the NFL offers that as part of their latest proposal to the NFLPA, that's basically what it's going to be. So no preseason for the 2020 season. There were some other things that the NFL offered as well. A ramp-up period that went from 7 days to 18 days, basically to let the players condition, just get in proper shape to hopefully limit some of the injuries that always happen at the start of training camp, but maybe now when players having the condition as well as they usually do, that will help. But this is going to be a slower preseason. It is going to be a much more methodical preseason. It's going to be different from anything we've seen. And now we know is going to include no preseason games. So simply condition, practice, and then get ready for the season.
Yeah, that blows. We're going to lose content. We're going to lose content in the process. As promised, right back to your phones. John in Connecticut, your thoughts. Impact on the Patriots. No preseason. Go ahead.
So first of all, you know, when we're talking about owners and players, can we just all agree that they just suck in general, like both of them? It actually makes me want to move to San Diego at this point and not care about sports whatsoever. But with that said, you know, the Patriots offense has really been predicated, you know, on timing for success. With Cam potentially being the starter this year, that takes that a little bit away. So I would think that maybe they have a little bit more success in the beginning than maybe having, you know, Stidham in there.
Well, so, like, I understand that premise that they're not going to be as precision of an offense with Cam Newton as Tom Brady. They're not going to be as precision of an offense with anyone as Tom Brady. So, like, I get it. I think the running game takes less work than the passing game, which is why the call about the fullback and the thing about the fullback, I just, like, I feel like the preseason and all these reps are really important passing game more than running game. Because you can't even really practice the running game. You know, when you go to camp and whatnot, they go live on the goal line-ish. But otherwise, you're not tackling. You're not really fully blocking unless you get to the pre. So the running game, I don't know. I think it's for the passing game. And while it may be more of a running game with Cam Newton and more sort of freelance, I don't know how else to say that, it's still time. So if that one report that I read is right, that padded practices only come the last 10 days before the first regular season game, I don't know how that benefits a new quarterback with all these still new receivers and new pieces. It is not benefit the Patriots. I'm sorry, it does not.
No, there's no way it could. I mean, how could it possibly benefit them when you have the kind of turnover that they have had, let alone at the most important position on the field? So again, now if you're asking me, do I think the secondary is going to be able to communicate with one another because it's McCourty, Gilmore, Jason McCourty, J.C. Jackson, familiar guy? Yeah, fine. I'm okay with the secondary. But I look at the rest of the team in so many places, with the possible exception of the offensive line. And I would say, again, continuity there. You know, in that one, I'll give you the continuity helps the Patriots. But you factor in a team that's as old as they are, that needs to integrate young talent from drafts, the last couple of drafts, as much as they have to. How does the absence of practice time help them? It doesn't. It hurts.
Pat Vermont, you're up. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on the Newton versus Stidham thing. I think that since the season is kind of in doubt right now, I think it might actually be a good idea to start Stidham. He has a fragile ego, so I'm thinking that with no crowd in the stands and nobody booing him, he might actually perform better. What are your thoughts? Thanks.
Okay, so that's not what I think of. I think of, is it an honest competition, if it ever was, between Newton and Stidham without any preseason games or any joint practices? How do those guys compete against each other if they're just running wind sprints for 3 weeks and then playing in shorts for another 2 weeks and having only 10 days of padded practice? How can they even have a competition?
I'm not sure they can. And I think this is where Newton's experience and the fact that he's played 9 years in the league, I mean, how does Stidham replicate that? He can't. He can't. It's just Newton has a leg up there.
How does Newton catch up to Hoyer and Stidham in terms of knowledge of the offense?
Show up.
Yeah. So, look, again, see, I think that one gets overplayed a little bit because, again, if Stidham were light years ahead in terms of the development, then I don't think that Newton would have been here anyway. So I think that they're really what they can do is build it around Newton, dumb it down, make it more of a running game, and simplify the thing so that it works around Newton's skill set, and just go from ground zero there. I think they're better off doing that.
Greg in New Hampshire, what are your thoughts on the situation?
Hi, how are you? Bill, I think he'll be able to adjust pretty easy. I think his only problem will end up being Newton himself if Bill tells him, relax a little bit with your social media and stuff like that, and he doesn't end up doing it. I think he'll have no problem turning things around if, they could both give each other a little bit of leeway. The other thing is, I think the offense was already struggling when Brady was here last year. So what makes you think, they got it in their head that Stidham's going to be their starter, this and that, and then they bring in Newton this late? Obviously, he's going to start over Stidham. I'd be surprised if Stidham was out there over Newton. Thanks, guys.
Okay, I wouldn't. I'll say it a million times. I'd be surprised if Newton were still here backing up. I think he's a release. If he doesn't look right or they don't get along or the Pats don't like him for whatever reason, I think they release him as opposed to backing him up all year. So I don't see Stidham over Newton. I just see Stidham here by himself. But I still think that's possible. I still think – I don't know, Maz. Do you think no preseason game helps or hurts Newton? Just, if it's Newton against himself, if Newton – which is what I think it is. I think Newton's competing against himself. That if he conforms, works hard, puts his head down, takes the coaching – and is a facsimile of him, of itself, that it's his job. Does a no preseason help or hurt that?
Well, I think that question depends on how Bill approaches it. If Bill looks at it and says, we're going to build it around Newton, we're going to build it around Newton's skill set, it'll help. It'll help. If it was that they wanted Newton to integrate into their offense and their scheme, the Brady offense, then it's going to hurt. So, again, because I think Newton knows, if you ask Newton to play Newton style, then Newton's been doing that for 9 years. If the Patriots bend a little and Bill says, this is how we're going to do it, we're going to work around Cam Newton and we're going to simplify the offense for everyone else because Cam's the centerpiece now, then I think it will help Cam Newton. He'll take, he doesn't need the preseason games.
I'll tell you what.
But if he's going to learn a new offense, forget it.
If Bill wants to bail from Cam Newton and wants an excuse, he's got one. I think he's got one now. Short of health, which is, well, what do you want me to do? He's a new guy that didn't come to terms until the end of June. Then we had no July. They took away all the preseason games, no joint practices, no padded practices. He just didn't have the time. He just didn't have the time to get up to speed. If Bill has an excuse on Cam Newton if he wants one, Murray. There it is.
Yeah, Steve, good luck with that.
Steve in Portland. Go ahead, Steve.
I think Bill probably caught wind that there'd not be much of a preseason. I'm not saying he swore me that it'd be no preseason. And he had to go get a veteran quarterback. Otherwise, I think we would have seen a lot of Brian Hoyer. He's not going to throw Stidham to the wolves with no preseason, no offseason. And maybe they'll just have a dumbed-down offense like the Baltimore Ravens or something.
Okay, so not just does the lack of preseason help them, Bill forecast it. And that's the reason he went out and got Cam Newton in the first place, Maz. How do you feel about
that? Yeah, no. Again, once again, Bill can predict everything before it happens. And no matter what it turns out, Bill was a step ahead of the game. I mean, look, I think they need to dumb down the offense either way. I just think it's going to be a different kind of offense. But this is, I told you, this is why whenever anything comes up, Bill's got the answer. Bill was ahead of it. Bill's never, ever a step behind. He's always two steps ahead, which is preposterous. He's not. If he were a step ahead, he would have had a quarterback here before they cut loose Brady, and they don't.
If he were a step ahead, Joe Tooney wouldn't be here on the franchise tag. Evan in Taunton. Go ahead, Evan.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering if you think with the NFL's willing to give up the preseason games that they think that there's not going to be any fans at all anymore, because you would think they would need a drive-through, a ride-through at all just to get any kind of precautions in place.
I'll tell you what, Evan, that's another great point. That's another reason why I wanted the preseason games. I forgot this before. I think they would be helped in these times with a dry run.
Absolutely. You know,
every stadium gets one little dress rehearsal, never mind the players, but the stadium workers, the teams, the broadcaster, the whole thing, the whole nine yards. Everyone gets a dry run. I think they could have used that.
Yeah, I heard Zoe talking about this last week, too, and I didn't even think about it, but you're asking for real trouble if you just go into this blind. Like, it's week one, you're opening up, and it's a... I know you're going to have less fans, but it's still going to be so different. How are you going to handle concessions? How are you going to handle the bathrooms? You need a preseason game to figure that crap out.
So, well, and this is why I said, particularly during a pandemic, like, I think those reps are important in terms of the whole operation, not just the football part of it. Like, you need the reps. How's this all going to work on game day? What's it going to be like? It'd be nice to have a run through. You need a dress rehearsal.
Doesn't feel like we're going to get any, and I think that blows. That's how we've let off the day. Bert Breer from Sports Illustrated is going to give us the very latest on what's going on in the NFL, what to expect when the players hit camp, what to expect in terms of preseason. The very latest with Bert after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.